Our next guest has traveled all around the country and talked about one of my absolute favorite subjects, the Constitution. There are very few adjectives I can use to describe a person that I hold in higher regard than patriot. And this is what I'd call Chris Ann Hall, a patriot, a veteran. We're going to get into a little bit about her. I had no idea she was a Russian translator. I mean, pretty cool. Of course, we're going to talk about the Constitution. Of course, we're going to talk about her perspective on what we're looking at in the world. ChrisAnnHall.com is her website. Chris Ann Hall, K-R-I-S, Ann with a E, H-A-L-L.com. Chris Ann Hall, welcome back to the Power Hour.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for joining us. Tell us a little bit about you. I mean, you're very unique. Anybody who's screaming about the Constitution, we love talking about the Constitution here. Just tickles me to death. Tell us a little bit about you.
Well, I started off as a biochemist, actually, and then I was a Russian cryptologic linguist for the U.S. Army.
All right, let's stop there. Let's stop. Pause. How in the world did you go from a biochemist to a Russian translator? Or a Russian linguist?
Well, you know, it's really not that difficult when you understand the whole process, actually. I joined the military. I joined the Army with the intention of going into the Bethesda Medical School. And in order to do that, through their PA program specifically, and in order to do that, I had to go in enlisted. So, you know, I went in enlisted and they gave me all these options. They told me that I scored really well on the ASVAB, the entrance exam into the military. And they said, why don't you take this language battery? And so I did, which determined, you know, my aptitude to learning languages, and I scored pretty high. And then they told me, hey, while you're, you know, doing your time before you can go to the PA school in Bethesda, why don't you become a spy? You know, James Bond, that kind of stuff. And I was like, yeah, cool, we'll do that. And I thought, you know, if I'm going to be stuck here for a while, I might as well learn something. And so I took the job to be a cryptologic linguist, and the Army assigned me Russian.
We hear everything like Russia's our enemy, like Putin's the worst thing ever. Did you get to have maybe a different perspective of Russia?
Yeah, I think so. Because, you know, first off, we really have to understand that people don't go to war. Governments go to war, right? And so you have this whole idea of Russians being evil, and the real honest truth about that is the Russian people really have no thought about us one way or the other. They're busy living their lives the same as we're busy living our lives. And the reason that you have this animosity is simply because of government propaganda. Now, Putin is a nationalist. He loves his country. I wouldn't consider him technically an imperialist, so he doesn't really want to go out and conquer worlds, right? But he certainly wants people to respect Russia in and of itself. And I think a lot of that we can glean to be a little bit more towards the truth as the American propaganda-driven government message shifts away from Russia to China, right? So we have to have some kind of big boogeyman entity out there to keep the military complex running and the special interests funded. But
why would we build bombs? Who's going to pay for these bombs if we don't have an enemy?
Exactly. And so, you know, we are going to trade the Russian enemy as that illusion falls away for the Chinese enemy. So, and I'm not saying that China is not an enemy, because China is in reality more of an imperialistic government.
Yeah,
they've always
absolutely
been that way, you know, conquer the world kind of people. But, you know, I don't, especially Putin. Putin would be happy to have the Russian people be very homogenous and left alone.
I get the sense about China that they're very mutually exclusive, meaning what I mean by that is they're not a live and let live kind of people. They're like, you're our enemy, you're opposite what we want. We want to conquer you or be conquered,
yeah.
One or the other.
Well, but that's the way China's always been, you know, and as the world has grown, you know, we're talking centuries of information here, as the world has grown, their vision of dominance has expanded, and that's pretty much where we are.
How did you get from, you know, Russian linguist, biochemist, to practicing actually First Amendment law, kind of being a constitutionalist? How did that transition happen?
Well, you know, God has a really strange way of orchestrating your life when, you know, he has a purpose. God has a purpose for everybody's life, but he has a very interesting way of orchestrating your life, and that's what he did for me. So when I was in the military, I actually broke my hip, and so I couldn't stay in the military. So when I got out of the military because of my in-service injury, I had to find something to do. And working as a biochemist in a laboratory was no longer an option, because that requires a lot of, a lot of on your feet kind of thing, a lot of sitting, a lot of standing. And that was something that was just not possible anymore because of my hip injury. And there's sort of a longer story in there, because the VA was refusing to treat me. And so we had to go through Washington, D.C. to get, you know, I mean, most people don't realize how neglected and even abused our veterans are in the VA hospital system. But I was actually, I actually firsthand experienced that.
Have
and
you
so
seen,
there was a long period.
Has that changed? Let me interject right there. Has that changed at all with Trump's administration? Has it gotten worse, better, the same that you know of or have seen?
You know, I haven't seen any improvement in the system at all. I mean, I generally don't go to the VA that much anymore, but the couple times that I've been in the last few years, I've seen no change in the system at all. The system is so broken, it's incompetent. The head doesn't know what the tail is doing, and the tail doesn't know what the arm is doing. I mean, the whole body is completely incompetent. Now, the people who work in the system can be fantastic. Like, I have never had a bad, well, let me put it this way. I've only had one bad orthopedic surgeon in, you know, since 1998. And I have had incompetent doctors, but for the majority, my doctors have been very, very competent. But the system itself is just a complete and utter disaster, because you have a system where there's no incentive. There's no incentive to excellence. There's no incentive to service. If you are incompetent, you get paid the same as somebody who is in excellence. And frankly, if you are in excellence, you're not going to be in the system to begin with, because you're going to be somewhere doing something
private, usually private, yeah.
That is excellent, you know, that is going to reward you for your excellence.
This sounds a lot like public school, what you just described.
it should sound a lot like everything that the government is involved in. So you have a system, when you have a system where the government is engaged in what the private industry ought to be engaged in, you know, go back to Russia, obviously, then you're going to have a system operating in mediocrity at the best. But most likely operating in incompetency.
Let's get back to the Constitution for a second and go deeper in that, and our foundation. It seems like anybody who studies this at all can tell that the foundation of our country and what we're seeing now, and you're discussing some of these issues with the VA or public school system,
right,
or the government has become this one size fits all behemoth, inefficient behemoth. Let's get back to the founding for a second. How unique, in your research, your perspective, how unique is the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, specifically the Bill of Rights?
Well, it's interesting that you actually you word it that way. There are five documents that are similar to our Declaration of Independence, which form the English Constitution over 700 years. That's one of the histories that I teach. The 700 years and five documents written over those 700 years that actually build our Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, and our Bill of Rights. So in that, our Declaration of Independence is a legal document that follows those other British constitutional documents. But the uniqueness of the Declaration of Independence, that document as a in its own right, is unique because instead of simply trying to establish boundaries and limits for a king, our founders said, you know what, let's not do kings anymore. So our Declaration of Independence is the announcement to the world that we are not only no longer a part of the British Empire, but that the American system will now be built on the political structure of no more kings. So we didn't simply declare independence from Great Britain, we declared independence from kings forever. And that's where the uniqueness of that comes. Not only that, within that declaration, you know, kings, the kingdoms were created under the premise that your rights and your privileges all come from the king. But the Declaration of Independence, in our shucking off of the British Empire and our refusal to become a kingdom, has declared that all rights come from our Creator. They don't come from government. They are natural, inherent rights that are possessed of all people, not just the ones that the kings find favor to. So that creates the uniqueness in our Constitution, but or in our Declaration of Independence. But the uniqueness in our Bill of Rights is that we are number one, the first government built on the premise that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Number two, built on the premise that we are a constitutional republic and not a kingdom and not a democracy and not an oligarchy.
When you hear Nancy Pelosi talk about our democracy, does that make you want to throw up? Because it does make you.
Okay, well, you know, let's be truthful here. I don't feel like I want to throw up when Nancy Pelosi says that, because I expect that from Nancy Pelosi. But it makes me very angry. It makes me, you know, upsets me when I hear the innumerable number of Republicans and those who can call themselves constitutionalists say that. I mean, I can't tell you how many times that I've heard the likes of even Ted Cruz or somebody like that call America a democracy. It's just simply a narrative bent on changing the way people think about our Constitution and changing the way we operate in our constitutional republic.
There's a line out of Common Sense, Thomas Paine, written the winter of 1776 before the Declaration. I know you know all this, but for our audience, there's a line in that where he asked the question, some say, where is the King of America? And he replies, only in heaven. And I've went over this idea for all Christians, for all people who claim to be, or even remotely claim to be Christians, this concept that there's something greater within us and that we are connected to divinity and that law is now going to support that position. To me, I don't know how Christians aren't going out of their mind defending this, out of their mind at the first inkling of attacking this, because this is a direct connection to their Creator and the divinity that is within them. That's my feeling. I would like to get your take on that.
Well, what you have is a situation of decades of either ignorant or reprobate pastors from the pulpit teaching.
Reprobate. Ooh, reprobate. I like that. I'm going to write that down. I'm going to use that word, reprobate.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's probably the nicest you're going to hear from me about this, but you have these pastors who have raised generations of people for decades thinking that the Bible commands that they engage in a slavish submission to government. Only that's absolutely, completely not true. And, you know, this distortion of Romans 13 that teaches that God demands slavish submission to all government is why we have, well, and the fact that Christians no longer, Christians that believe that are Christians that no longer read their Bible, and pastors who no longer preach the Bible, they just preach, you know, whatever it is that is on their mind, and they stay away from certain topics because they're idolaters, right? Because they don't want to, you know, make somebody mad in the pew and lose a tithe, or they buy into the propaganda that they can't talk about politics because of their 501c3. Now, the source of all of that is idolatry, because those pastors now have turned themselves over to those who fear men more than they fear God, and they are seeking after money instead of God's righteousness. And so you have this errant and negligent, destructive teaching about Romans 13 that God declares that we must be in slavish submission to all government, when Romans 13 says the absolute opposite. Romans 13 does not demand a slavish submission to government. Romans 13 demands that the people not live lawlessly, and that government is established for the good, to reward the good and to support the good and to punish evil. And so when government becomes evil, then we must be a people who no longer follows government, because we are to be a righteous people, a good people. We can't follow government into evil. And so throughout the scripture, God not only commands people to defy tyrannical government, he rewards people for doing that. And that's the kind of things that our pastors should be teaching.
Wow.
But it's simply not.
I love the way you said that. I mean, you say this so much better than I do, in a such better way. You know, Paul, any preacher who even remotely says anything like that, I don't listen to anything they say. I completely discard them. Paul, who, by the way, probably wrote Romans, was constantly defying the government. So if that's what he meant, then why was he constantly in jail?
Right, exactly.
But God didn't do that.
I mean, God, throughout, you don't even have to go to Paul, you know? I mean, you go out throughout the entire scripture, from the Hebrew nursemaids who refused to engage in the government's law of abortion, to Moses' mother first, refusing to obey the law that would kill her child, to Moses commanded by God himself to point his finger at the king and defy government. You got Daniel, who, when you read Daniel chapter 6, you see that the scripture actually says that when Daniel knew the law had been signed into action, that's when he engaged in his peaceful noncompliance.
Wow. You mentioned the word abortion, and especially right now, when I think of the word abortion, I think of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who's like the queen of legal abortion for the last 30, well, plus whatever. We got 2 minutes before the break. Before we get more into the quote-unquote constitutional crisis that we have here, any comment about RBG at all, her reign, so to speak, or anything, any comment that you have?
Well, I mean, you know, we're going to be inundated now with the deification of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And my only comment, you know, initially would be, take the time to find out who this woman is, because she is not someone to be admired. She is actually the example of the perfect example of a Supreme Court justice that should have been impeached and removed from office.
Ooh. See, I'm glad you said that. Why do you say that? Are you referring to her interview in 2012 when she talked about the Constitution, said it's old and outdated, or what's your reason?
Yeah, no, that's one of them. That's one of them. But you have a Supreme Court justice who on numerous occasions should have recused herself from cases based upon her published statements of political ideology and intent of activism, and she didn't. And so the fact that she did not recuse herself when she knows she had a real conflict of interest are grounds for impeachment. That's bad behavior. Our founders specifically said that, you know, our judges, that's another thing that we talk about errantly, our judges do not have lifetime appointments. Now, they can hold the bench for lifetime, but tenure for their employment is good behavior. And I teach a class at Liberty First. Yeah, I teach a class on our online training called LibertyFirstUniversity.com that our founders, and I'd show you the words themselves, the founders themselves, identified bad behavior in one of the largest parts as a judge who operates and rules and gives opinion based on their wants and their desires rather than the Constitution. And that is Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
She's the very definition
of bad behavior.
She's the very definition of that. We got about the breaks coming up. You know, I've said this on air. My uncle and I, we talked about this yesterday. There was a time in America when a judge would stray so far from the Constitution, basically be an activist like her, they would literally take them out, tar and feather them, put them on a rail, and run them out of town, literally. I mean, there was one time in America when that happened.
Absolutely. More than one time.
Yeah, more than there was a time, I should say. Yes, a lot of times, but there was a time in our country. There's the music. Chris Ann Hall, I love her. ChrisAnnHall.com is our website. We're going to continue more with Patriot, Chris Ann Hall. You're listening to the Power Hour. Stay tuned.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
You know what my mission was when I started this, and I was so excited. I still am excited after 21 years. I said, anybody who's got mouth must use Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash if they want to stay healthy. I'm going to make sure that it is available to anywhere I can put the product.
You got a lot of zinc in these products.
Zinc inhibits plaque growth. Zinc is also known to have an antibacterial properties. Also, zinc works to eliminate bad breath by destroying volatile sulfur compounds. Such an incredible product. And
wow.
I'm so proud to say my wife did that and saved my life, saved my mouth. And she is the mother of all the people who are using a Vitamer toothpaste and mouthwash in the world.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
If you eat your Manna food on a semi-regular basis, you're probably getting better quality food and healthier for your body than you're eating now.
Your products are GMO-free. There's no added MSG and no chemical preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. And you also have gluten-free products as well.
We have a great variety of very high quality products.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
We'll get back to Chris here in just a second. ThePowerMall.com. Don't forget the 877-817-9829. That's the phone number. We have, we had Dr. Sherry Rogers on. She is one of the best minds, especially you can see even every time she comes on, her research, her level of understanding about this COVID and whatever, and how you can get prepared yourself, how you can fortify yourself. If you haven't noticed, just in medicine, as well as law, as well as schooling, education, I mean, so much part of our lives, all these things have become our responsibility because the institutions which we have given some of that authority or given some of that responsibility to help us with, they've let us down. Schooling, legal, certainly medical. We want you happy, healthy, successful, and free as God intends you to be. That's what the Power Hour is about. It's all about the truth. And what is the truth? We hold these truths to be self-evident. This is the most important sentence ever written politically, my opinion. We'll see. Maybe Chris Ann agrees. The most important sentence ever written, probably in about 2 millennia, is that sentence. And the whole thing about government. We hold these truths to be self-evident. This is self-evident. This is the truth. Let's be a nation of truth. Your independence and your medical freedom is up to you. If you do not get these things from us, from the Power Mall, the things that actually work, not some big box store from, whatever, some chemical derivative of actual vitamins, of actual nutrition, then where are you going to get them? They're not in the soil anymore. You know that, right? Where are you going to get them? Are you going to believe the illusion like, oh, no, it's just okay, just live your life and get cancer and do all that, and that's just part of life, that's just life now, and, well, that's just what we're going to do. No, I don't accept that, and this show doesn't accept it, Joyce didn't accept it, and our guest doesn't accept what we've seen, especially from the legal area. ThePowerMall.com, 877-817-9829, a lot of specials there. Please give us a call. We need your purchases. We need and deserve your donations, thoughts, prayers, the like, and you're welcome for what we do. Independent media is getting rarer and rarer. You like this show, you like me, you hate me, whatever. Here's what you can never say about me, that I am controlled. I am independent. This show is independent, and it's always been. Joyce has established it, and it's going to stay that way. Why? Because of you. And this show is an extension of you, and it's an honor to be here, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for all your support. Please buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. Getting back to Chris, We're talking about RBG, one of my least favorite subjects. Yesterday we played, Ding Dong, The Witch is Dead. We played that coming out of every break. I thought it was pretty exciting. I got excited. I actually got emotional when I actually found out that she had died. And I don't really know. I mean, I kind of know why, but I feel like this is a turning point where there's actually a chance to turn the court, possibly a chance to overturn Roe versus Wade, to push abortion back to the states. I mean, I really feel like we have a chance to take a curse off this country legally and constitutionally here because of her passing. Do you have any thoughts or any ideas of any of those concepts?
Well, the opportunity is always there. And, whenever you have a chance to create to fill a vacancy in the Supreme Court, the opportunity is always there. The problem is always comes in with the issue of will we actually do the right thing? Because I'll say this, and people are going to not like what I'm about to say, but we don't need a conservative appointment. We don't need a conservative appointment any more than we need a liberal appointment. We need a constitutional appointment. And the only justice sitting on the Supreme Court right now that remotely resembles a constitutional appointment is Gorsuch. And so the challenge which has been the challenge over the years, is to set aside the political ideologies and not appoint people based on political ideologies, but based on constitutional aptitude. And that is the challenge. So what you have now is a situation where we have an opportunity. I mean, we have a president who has appointed Neil Gorsuch, but he also appointed Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh is not a constitutionalist. I talk about laughing out loud when he was described as being a Jeffersonian. I nearly fell over myself out of my chair in hysterics. He's no more a Jeffersonian than Ginsburg is. So the idea that Kavanaugh was some kind of an advantage on the court is laughable. Kavanaugh was simply, in my humble opinion, not as bad as it could have been. And so we now have a situation where we have the opportunity to get somebody that's more like Gorsuch, less like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, but then you also run into the danger of the politics of the time. Because we're already talking, they're already talking about, we need a woman, right? Well, if you're already talking about we must have a certain gender to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg, then what you're already doing is establishing that you're going to be selecting someone based on politics and not based on aptitude. So I am not a person that believes that we should be choosing people based on gender or race, regardless of whatever affirmative action we might have. As a woman, I believe that we should choose people based on their merit and not based on,
Do you have somebody in mind?
Physical attributes.
Is there somebody in mind that you would like to see nominated?
It's really difficult for me to answer that question because I know a ton of I know several justices and lawyers that would be fantastic Supreme Court justices. They're just not the ones that would be chosen because they're not on somebody's political ticket.
Political radar, yeah.
Yeah, right. Because remember, my standard is not politics. My standard is Constitution. So I don't see anybody on current list.
Amy Barrett, what does she mean to you?
Well, I think she's probably a Kavanaugh, but she's not a Gorsuch.
I love you and listening to you because you're an idealist. I'm an idealist. this situation, I think it takes a little bit of pragmatism.
No, it doesn't.
Well,
it does not.
It's going
to. I'm not
to.
An idealist.
Let's put it this way: it's going to.
You. I'm not an idealist. I am a person who that operates by standard. Okay, that's the big difference.
Well,
if you determine that someone who operates by standard is an idealist, then what you're saying is the standard is the standard. Okay, we're talking about the bottom level tier is unachievable. And that's not true. So when you compromise the standard, what you say is there is no standard at all.
Well, there is none.
And what you say is
I agree with you. There is no standard. There is
no standard
in their actions. There has been no standard in their actions.
No, but that's the problem.
Absolutely.
But demanding the standard is not being an idealist. Demanding the standard is being a responsible citizen.
Okay.
Making excuses for not following the standard is saying you're giving people permission to be immoral. And I will never give anybody permission to be immoral.
I agree with you.
I am not an idealist, and I don't mean to like be harping on that, but it really is.
No,
offensive.
Words matter. I agree. Words are matter. I don't think that
the Constitution is something that we should be compromising.
I completely agree. See, I don't. If somebody called me an idealist, I've been called that. That doesn't offend me. I think it as a compliment. It doesn't bother me at all. So believe me. I did not mean that as derogatory at all.
Yeah.
I think it
yeah.
is a compliment.
Well, yeah, I just don't. I don't see it that way because being an idealist is not a label on me. It's a label on the Constitution. It is declaring that the Constitution itself is unachievable. That it's some kind of pie in the sky idea. When that's not the perspective we need to have. The Constitution needs to be a standard that we demand and a standard that we expect. So what happens when we allow people to use the standard as an ideal?
Let me ask you this. How do we do that?
Okay, well, it begins with the education of the people. Right? So Samuel Adams said, "No people will tamely surrender their liberties nor be easily subdued when knowledge is diffused and virtue is preserved." So the standard first, we have to admit it and maintain it, the Constitution, as a standard. In the minds of the people, we must establish that standard as an educational starting point. So that's part of the problem is we haven't taught the Constitution properly since 1833.
Are we putting the blame on public schools? Are we putting the blame on our own lackadaisicalness? Or where's the blame land for that?
Well, when you're talking about education, the blame is not in the educational system. You can't blame a teacher. Because teachers will teach what they're given to teach. So what we have to recognize is that ultimately, especially from a spiritual perspective, the education of our children is the responsibility of the parent, right? The Bible says, train your child up in the way that they shall go. It doesn't say, teacher, train your child up in the way that they shall go. It doesn't say, community, train your child up in the way that it shall go. And so, the ultimate responsibility falls on parents because the education of our children begins and ends in the home and not in the classroom. So beginning now with future generations, that has to happen in the home. We should not ever be relying on the government to train our children in any way, shape, or form. We shouldn't leave that to be their task. And as far as currently, you know, adults themselves, the responsibility lies on the individual. So we can't blame government for our lack of education because we're adults and we have access to information in a way that we've never had access before. So these are the kind of things that we need to look at. What kind of education? I mean, think about, I look at New Hampshire, a self-proclaimed transsexual
satanic
anarchist was chosen, elected by the people in a primary to be the Republican candidate on the general election for sheriff. And so the reason that he did that, and he has made this statement, because my first thought was, how does an anarchist run for office? I mean, that's just totally against who an anarchist is, right?
You can't be
a real anarchist in whole government. And so that's why I looked into this. And the truth of the matter is, he said, I am running for office, although I'm an anarchist, because I want to show you that your system is absolutely broken. And this is why. Because you have people who are voting, and they are voting without information. And he called them stupid people. I'm not going to say stupid people. I'm going to say ignorant people. You have ignorant people going to the ballot box, voting for people they know nothing about, and then complaining when the government goes awry. You can't possibly complain about the government going awry when all you do going to vote is just simply show up, and we get what we ask for.
Let me transition to the biggest topic of the last 6 months has been COVID. We've seen masks. We've seen Australia look like a concentration camp, or part of it turn into semi-concentration camp. What's your feeling on mask mandates, business mandates? This does not seem to jive with the Constitution at all. How is this happening, and what can we do to fight this? What are you doing to fight this?
I would ask people this particular question. Do you have a pocket constitution?
You can get them at the Power Mall if you don't. By the way.
But that's not what I'm talking about. Do you have a pocket state constitution? Because it's the state constitution that actually is relevant to the mask mandates, not the U.S. Constitution. Because, you see, it's the states that are making all of these mandates. It's the state and local governments that are making all these mandates, not the federal government. And so what we've lost in our understanding of the operation of government is the knowledge that our state and local governments are also bound by a standard. And that standard is the state constitution. And when you ask me, what do I think of the government mandates, the mask mandates, the business mandates, I will tell you very simply, I have studied the state constitutions. I actually have a class on the state constitutions, on different state constitutions, on how the mandates by the governors and the mayors and the city councils violate no less than 6 or 7 sections of the your state constitution.
Give us an example. What state are we talking about? Are we talking about Florida?
We're talking about every state.
Okay, give us an example. Because, see, I think I love this discussion and getting deeper into this. To me, it violates all this violates the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights, and the state is bound by the federal constitution on that level, to me. But let's go deeper. Go ahead. Explain this on a state.
Well, this is again, when something that's going to sound strange to people, because we've been teaching the wrong things for a very long time. The only reason the Bill of Rights governs the U.S. Bill of Rights governs the states is because we have an errant understanding of the 14th Amendment, and we have an errant understanding of the purpose of the U.S. Bill of Rights. And I will tell you, you don't need the U.S. Bill of Rights to govern the states, because every state within their own constitution has a Bill of Rights. And in that Bill of Rights, every single state mirrors, and 9 times out of 10 is clearer and more restrictive than the U.S. Bill of Rights. So our dependency on the federal government not only goes to financial dependency and military dependency and local government dependency, but also goes to constitutional dependency that is unwarranted. And part of that vision, that sort of obsession that we have with the federal government is the problem that we have. The obsession that we have with the federal government is why these government mandates are happening without objection at the state and local level. Because people don't know their state constitutions, and they don't know that their governors and their mayors are violating those, and they don't understand the enormous power that we have state and local, as opposed, you know, juxtaposition to the zero power that we have to control the federal government. And so if we stopped being obsessed, unreasonably obsessed, and without justification obsessed with the federal government and the U.S. Constitution, and paid attention to what was happening state and local, we would not be in the situation that we're in. We'd
Give us an example of how we could, you know, of looking at this. What from the state constitution is best way to attack some of this on a local level?
Well, your governments, your state and local governments are created by your state constitution. Just like the U.S. Constitution creates the federal government, your state constitution creates your state and local government. And it specifically enumerates the power that's been delegated to the state and local governments. Your governor issuing an executive order to shut down businesses, mandate masks, close churches is one of the most fundamental violations of your state constitution that exists. It is a violation of separation of powers. Every single state constitution establishes that the lawmaking is reserved to the legislative branch, and the enforcing of the law is reserved to the executive branch, and that these two branches, along with the judicial branch, are separate, and they're not allowed to exercise each other's powers. A violation of separation of powers is the most violent attack on a constitution that exists, so much so that our founders, so many of them, but Madison, for example, said that liberty cannot survive when the power of the legislative and executive are combined into one person or one body of people. So when you have the governor issuing an executive order that shuts down your businesses, limits your businesses, shuts down your churches, mandates masks, mandates stay-at-home orders, you have a governor who is executing laws, is creating laws, than merely executing those that are created. Well, and that is the fundamental violation.
Okay, let me interject here. Certain states, I think Michigan is one, I'm not 100% sure about it, but some states I know have certain emergency powers clause on a limited basis given to the governor by the legislature. What would you say to that?
Mm-hmm. The emergency power clauses are unconstitutional because the legislative branch is also bound by the Constitution of the state. And the constitutions of the states have bills of rights that declare that these rights are inalienable. They're inherent and they're inalienable. And many of our state constitutions even have sections in the Bill of Rights of the state constitution that declares that the rights enumerated in the Bill of Rights cannot be set aside by law. And so your legislative branch cannot create laws that are contrary to the Constitution because they are created by the Constitution. So the legislative branch, number one, the executive orders are completely unconstitutional regardless of what state you live in because they're a violation of separation of powers. The executive branch's power is specifically enumerated, and the legislative branch cannot expand executive power without amending the Constitution. And you cannot amend the Constitution even at the state level with simple legislation. It would be the same result if the legislative branch tried to take power from the governor. We don't think about it that way. But in the truth, if the legislative branch passed a law that stripped power of the governor, everybody would be screaming that this is unconstitutional. But for the legislative branch to expand power of the governor is just as unconstitutional and ought to be just as outrageous.
Okay, now this is where, see, let's assume that on state level that they do all those things, they amend it, they whatever, they change the whole thing. This is where the federal constitution is supreme. Because the Bill of Rights is supreme, that they've already adopted this. They still, no matter what they do, no matter what they change on a state level, they cannot violate the Bill of Rights. That's,
well, see, but
you
that's
see what
not
I'm
the solution.
Okay,
no,
what is
I
the
will
solution?
Not agree, because that's not the solution.
Well, it's still against the law, even if they changed it. That's my point. That's why there's
well,
an obsession with the Bill of Rights.
But going to the federal constitution is not the solution. There is a solution, a more powerful one.
And it's at a local level using the state constitution. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Love it. I love it. ChrisAnnHall.com. It's been fantastic to talk to you. I love your perspective. Love your passion. A patriot. Chris Ann Hall. ChrisAnnHall.com. Thank you, Chris. God bless you, ladies
Thank
and gentlemen.
You.
Tomorrow, Deborah Tavares will be on. And have a great evening. Happy, healthy, successful, and free. See ya.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.